We conclude today a series of lessons about overcoming with Jesus. There was going to be one more called Overcoming Fear. If you noticed the preview of pulpit sermons and discourses, you would have maybe seen that and been expecting that. And I've decided to drop that since we dealt with it recently in a Bible class. We, in our attitudes lessons, came across a lesson about fear, and so I decided to just pass on that lesson. So this will be the last in the series of lessons, overcoming with Jesus. In particular, overcoming lingering feelings of guilt, which I think are oftentimes our own worst enemy. Now, let me just be very clear. Here at the outset of this lesson, I'm not talking about how to actually overcome the guilt of sin. This lesson is not dealing with how to actually deal with the subject of sin and or the guilt of sin, but the lingering feelings of guilt after those sins have been addressed that so often, I think, can handicap us. Actual forgiveness is in the blood of Jesus. That's how you overcome actual forgiveness of sin. If you've yet to be immersed in water, baptized into the blood of Jesus, then that needs to be the way you first overcome the guilt of sin. If that's been in your past done acceptably, then as you repent and confess your sins to God and forgive others that sin against you, you can continue to overcome the actual guilt of sin in your life. I just wanted to say that, because that's not what this lesson's about, but some might mistakenly think so. We're talking about how to overcome those often debilitating feelings of guilt that just won't go away. Even though theoretically in mind, I know I've been forgiven, but I can't forgive myself. And that's why I say it's our own worst enemy, these lingering feelings of guilt. First of all, and this might surprise some of you, I think that feeling guilty is not all bad. Feeling guilty, may I suggest, is a gift of God. Guilt is that uneasiness of conscience that we sometimes have, a bothered conscience, a prick of our hearts, if you will, that helps regulate our behavior. And that's good. That's good. Thank God for it. Imagine, and I know it's hypothetical, but just imagine, if you will, if you did not have that. If you did things wrong with no compunction whatsoever. No feelings of guilt that followed. What more might you do wrong if there was nothing keeping you in check, at least somewhat? Be glad that you feel bad when you've done wrong. Thank God even for it, if you will. What might you not do because of a conscience? Meaning, what prompts me to do right sometimes is a guilty feeling I have. I got to do more of this or that God expects. What if you didn't have that? What might you not do if there was no guilty feelings lingering within you about your shortcomings? You see why I say it's a gift of God. Feeling those guilty feelings of your heart and conscience is not all bad. That's actually somewhat a good thing. You can call me crazy if you want, but I actually thank God in prayer for my guilty conscience. You're nuts. No, but I do. And I'm going to take it one step further, and don't hate me for this. I pray for you when you stray from the truth that you will have a guilty conscience and that you will feel bad about it to where you might finally come to yourself and return to faithfully serving God. Don't hate me for that. I know that sounds like I got enough problems without you praying that I have problems. But I do. I pray that you feel guilty in your straying from the truth. Yes. And hopefully you will return as a result. Let's talk about some reactions to guilt feelings. I have three. I love these young ladies taking notes. So if anyone else besides them is, write this down. Let's talk about some reactions to these guilt feelings that we want to overcome. First of all, there are those that will react by, well, dismissing, ignoring, suppressing, minimizing, and even reveling in it. Have you ever come across anybody that revels in their bad feelings of guilt? That's crazy. But it's true sometimes. Let me take you to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And though it's not just the lingering feelings of guilt that's being discussed here, notice nonetheless that Paul says, you're glorying in this sin? Are you kidding me? But they do. They do sometimes. Now, my purpose this morning is not to go into the whole subject of what was wrong here in the Corinthian church, but just to point that one thing out. Look at chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. It's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you. And such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you're popped up and have not rather mourned. Look at the feelings they should have had. You should have cried about this, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. No, you're puffed up. You're not mourning about it. In fact, drop on down to verse 6. You're glorying in it. And it's not good. So some people will react to their feelings of guilt, their lingering feelings of guilt, by either just trying to dismiss, ignore, suppress, minimize, maybe even brag about it. Glorying in it, if you will. And that is no good. Some are overwhelmed. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sometimes we become overwhelmed with grief. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was concerned about that. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 5. But if anyone has caused grief, there's your overcoming lingering feelings of guilt or grief. If anyone has caused grief, he's not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest what? Lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Some people can be just swallowed up and overwhelmed with grief and sorrow about sin. Don't let that happen. Sufficient punishment has taken place. Now forgive him and don't let him just be overwhelmed with grief about the sinfulness of that which he has done. Well, that's true. That's true how some people though react. There are those that will react to guilt feelings by just being overwhelmed with grief about what they've done. Here's the ideal. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, let your feelings move you to repentance. That's the perfect response. That's the God-given ideal reaction to this matter of feeling guilty. Well, do something about it. Repent and do the right thing. Here it's discussed by Paul in 2 Corinthians 7, 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. I know you have sorry feelings and you feel bad and guilty. I don't do that. But that your sorrow led you to repentance. For you were made sorry. I made you sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us and nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance that will lead, and I'm paraphrasing, that will eventuate in your salvation, and you will never regret that. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And then look at 11. Observe this. Observe what you did, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What? How do you know we did? What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves, what indignation you felt, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear. So I know that you sorrowed in a godly manner that led to repentance. That's what you want. This is what you want. How do I overcome lingering feelings of guilt? Let it move you to repentance. Let it move you to repentance. The consequences of lingering feelings of guilt I want to talk about just for a few minutes. And actually, this is where I'll spend most of my time, because this is where the lesson finds its need. Overcome it? I need to overcome lingering feelings of guilt? Yeah. Why do I need to overcome it? Because of this. This that we're going to speak about. There are things that will be not so good if you don't overcome these lingering feelings of guilt. Psalm number 51. First of all, you'll worry about it. Why do I need to overcome my lingering feelings of guilt? Once I've been baptized, aren't they washed away? Yep. Once I've admitted and confessed to God, please forgive me of all my sins. And so, well, that's true. But now the lingering feelings of guilt, the sorrow, the mourning, the grief. How do I overcome those things? Who cares? Well, here's why. Who cares? What does it make? What matter is it? What does it matter? What does it really get? What does it really matter whether I do or don't? You worry, and worry's not good. Look at Psalm number 51, verse 1-5. Have mercy on me, Lord, David says, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and then here it is, my sin is always before me. It's right here all the time. Please wash that away. My sin's always before me. Verse 4, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I feel like I was just brought into iniquity by my mother. I've just been a sinner since I've been born. That's an exaggeration, of course. Not true in the absolute sense. My sin is ever before me. I just can't forget it. We fret about it. We agonize over it continually. And as I said, it makes me feel like I've been a sinner since birth. That's not good. That you feel that way and worry that way about your sin. Your sin has been put away from you. Stop having it right before you and feeling so badly about it. Mental turmoil. Verse 7. The consequences of lingering feelings of guilt. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy again. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, God. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. He indicates here that he has a guilt complex that's developing. An emotional turmoil. I'm being robbed of the joy of your salvation. Please cleanse me so that I can rejoice once more. I just call it mental turmoil. What is the consequence of lingering feelings of guilt? Guilt complexes and a mental turmoil. Chapter 51, 13, non-productivity. If you'll do this for me, God, then I shall teach transgressors again. I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And if you do that, my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Why do I need to overcome lingering feelings of guilt? So that you can be productive once more. So that you can go forward doing things constructively for the Lord. When we become so preoccupied with our feelings of guilt, our failings, we fail to do good. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
I did? Okay. I won't repeat it then, Greg. Our effectiveness is neutralized. Do we feel somewhat unworthy because of what we've done? Tell me that's not the case. Tell me that's not the case. That we don't do what we should because we feel we're not worthy because of what I did last year. Last whenever. Yesterday, last year, or 20 years ago. I'm not worthy to do now what I need to do. You know I'm right. Psalm 32, 1. Why do I need to overcome lingering feelings of guilt? Because you may hurt yourself if you don't. Psalm 32, 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, and I did not confess my wrong to you, is the idea, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. And he says, my vigor, my vitality was turned into drought of summer. I just was drying all up within myself and had no energy to do anything much for you. Or anything. As goes the mind, so goes the body. And when the mind has lingering feelings of guilt that are just consuming the thought, one of the downfalls, or one of the things that makes it so bad that we need to overcome it, is that it not lead to physical health problems, such as my bones. I'm getting old before my time. My energy is sapped. Got a couple more, ladies. I started to say this is the worst, but maybe it's not the worst, but it's in the ballpark of the worst thing that could happen, and that is that you kill yourself. In Colossians 2, though, let's go before that with verse 23 and say that even if you don't kill yourself and do a severe thing like that to your life and your body, you still beat yourself up, and that's not good. Who said so? God did. In chapter 2, 23, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body. And they're useless. They're of no value in the fleshly matters of lust and indulgence of the flesh, as he says. But that's what we do. We do. We neglect our body. We beat ourselves up. We do severe things to ourselves. But the ultimate, as I alluded to, and an example of it is Judas, Matthew 27. You feel so bad about what you did, you go and kill yourself. In Matthew chapter 27, 3, we don't want that to happen, so you've got to overcome this lingering feelings of guilt business, lest it lead to something as drastic as that. Matthew 27, 3, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. Did he have any feelings of remorse? It says it. He was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned. What in the world was I thinking by betraying an innocent man, innocent blood? And they said, what's that to us? You see to it. It's not our problem. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Oh, man, what are you doing? He didn't overcome his lingering feeling of guilt, and it didn't linger long with him. It was very short term. But still, nonetheless, you that have studied with me through the years, I often ask this question, who did the worst thing, Peter or Judas, in the crucifixion of Jesus? One denied him 3 times. One betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And you want to just shake your head and say, neither. Neither is any worse than the other. Well, don't you name your children Judas? Nope. We named them Peter. Why? Because of how Judas dealt with his remorsefulness, different than how Peter dealt with his. I'll come back to Peter later. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Another consequence of lingering feeling of guilt is you fear dying. You fear dying. And that's why Jesus came to the world, to deliver you from the bondage of fearing death. In Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He came to release you from that bondage and slavery. But when we have lingering feelings of guilt, in a sense, we're putting ourselves right back into slavery. We're insecure about our eternal destiny. The very reason that Christ came was to take away that insecurity so that you don't have to fear dying. Okay, and the last part of the lesson is the practical ways I suggest, and I hope I have Bible for you on these. Also, of course, not just my opinion, but biblical ways to overcome feelings of guilt. The first, we return to Psalm 32, and that is you need to acknowledge your sin. Face it. Turn and face it. In Psalm 32, 5, you remember he said earlier, when I kept silent, I felt sick. Remember that? Okay, well, look what he finally says, though, after where we left off that with that in verse number 5, I acknowledged or faced my sin. I acknowledged it, confessed it to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. How do you overcome lingering feelings of guilt? Face it. Face the sin. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge wrongdoing. James 5:16, confess the sin to another. James chapter 5, 16. Confess your trespasses to someone else, to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know this to be true. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails a ton. It avails much. Yeah, I believe that. Well, confess your sin to another so he can pray for you and help you overcome your feeling of guilt. John 21, make amends, repent, start actively going forward. You remember I said something about Peter a few moments ago? Peter is a prime example. After his denials of Jesus, he turned and ran away from Jesus, and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. I've never wept bitterly in my life. Peter says I have. I went out and I wept bitterly about what I had just done in denying Jesus. Well, you're useless. Mm-mm. Well, you'll never be able to overcome that. Mm-mm. What does Jesus say in chapter 21, 15 to this bitterly weeping man who is just so remorseful for what he's done in denying Jesus? So when they had eaten breakfast, John 21, 15, Jesus said to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, well, get out there and start feeding some lambs then. I'm going to ask you a second time, Peter, do you love me? You know, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Well, then tend my sheep. 17, third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved. Talk about overcoming grief. He was now grieved because he keeps asking him that. Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, well, get busy then. What are you doing here? Fishing. Go. I didn't choose you to go into the lake and fish. I chose you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Get busy.
Yes, sir.
Tending to my lambs, feeding my sheep, etc. So get up. Get going. Make amends where possible. Do service to the less fortunate. Charitably give of your time. And it's, I have this in my notes. Give charitably of your time and insist on no payback. I believe, and here I'm playing amateur psychologist, I think that would help in overcoming lingering feelings of guilt. Insist on doing things for people and no payback, please. I insist. This has to be something I'm doing for you. Only for you. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 16. Accept God's mercy. Somehow I'm thinking we're having a hard time with this. If we continue to have lingering feelings of guilt, we're seemingly having a hard time accepting that I can be forgiven. Oh, we theoretically know that God says it. I believe it. I guess that settles it. Maybe we don't settle it either because we're still wrestling with it. We're acting like it hasn't gone away. So we're saying one thing and we're doing something differently. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who's enabled me, Paul says, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although, you know what kind of man I used to be? I blasphemed. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Mark this down. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm chief. However, 16, for this reason I obtained mercy. Why did he do that for you? What is accomplished? That it might be in me first that Jesus might show all long-suffering as a pattern to you. That should come after. I found mercy. You can find mercy. Oh, but I'm a one terrible sinner. No more than I, Paul could say. Accept the Lord's mercy. The realization of absolution, the complete obliteration of your sins, never to be remembered again by God, should prompt you to draw near to Him and not have that conscience of yours constantly being bothered. Go to Hebrews. Is this on your notes? Yes, it is. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 15 through 22. And notice how he says, the blood of Jesus Christ gives you confidence to have your conscience cleansed and to boldly go and do what you do for God. Look at the verse number 15. First of all, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I'll write them. Now, he adds this, though, right after that. He says, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. He says that. Really? Yeah. Meaning, there in verse 18, you mean there is absolute remission and forgiveness? Yep. There's no longer any more sin? Nope. No more offering needed for it either. Therefore, brethren, look what happens. Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let's draw near.
Yes, sir.
Let's draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. There you go. There you go. I got one or two more. 1 Peter chapter 3:21 indicates that baptism is an answer of a good conscience toward God. May I suggest all obedience to all commandments of God ought to be the same way. Baptism is not the exclusive one. Baptism and all obedience ought to be a response and an appeal to God for a good conscience. One thing you can do for yourself to help you overcome lingering feelings of guilt, obey God every which way you can.
Yes, sir.
In everything. I think we're through. Philippians chapter 4, 6. Pray every day.
Yeah.
Philippians 4, 6. Last but not least, pray daily. Be anxious for nothing. Get that lingering feeling of guilt that is so anxious on your mind out of your head. How do you do that? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and you'll get it. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You'll find a peace that surpasses all human description. The Old Testament could not clear the conscience, we're told in Hebrews 9:9, but the New Covenant can. Hebrews 10:22. And praise God for that.